Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Queen never need. And my homie Chili Chew. Yeah.
We give it up for Platinum Queen.
We give it up for Platinum Queen. Oh, yeah.
We give it up for Platinum Queen.
Oh, California.
Give it up for Platinum Queen.
Rather with Don Calypso, T. Speedy, or Scholar. Make you wanna holler, like tips from a hollow. Platinum Queen roll call goes as follows. Miss Optimism, beautiful butterfly, double up in the house. Don't ask why. Miko and Miss Choir, songs of worship reply. Miss Computer Lady, Black Man, Abe and I. So go and testify, just call in. Platinum Queen's got the West Coast ride again. Richard and B.C. and us, Cavito Man. Got the chat room blowing up, so y'all tune in. Rolling.
We're giving up for Platinum Queen.
Cracking with you now, tuned in to the most dangerous radio show on the internet, on Blog Talk, in the galaxy, in the universe. You know why? Because we tune in to what's going on in the neighborhoods, in the communities, to reach out and at least try to help with the kids, with your kids. Giving underground artists, you know what I'm saying, that don't have deals, an opportunity to be heard. Call in number 347-884-8239 every Sunday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, we want to hear from you.
We're giving up for Platinum Queen. Chili Chill is on the
scene. Yeah.
We're giving up for Platinum Queen.
California.
We're giving up for Platinum Queen.
Yeah.
Chili Chill is on the scene.
West Coast.
We're giving up for Platinum Queen.
Hey Shonda, hey sis, you start the show off, and we'll be right if they hear from a queen first. What's today's topic about?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Platinum Queen's West Show. I'm here with the special co-host, Don Calypso. Don, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, I'm here. And I see we got area code 901 who's waiting on to hold their hands not up. I wonder if that's Shani.
Might be. Right.
I'm going to try to get a hold of T. Smitty because he's supposed to be the other calls today.
Yeah, I wanted to get your personal thoughts on what you saw yesterday, man.
Sorry, can you repeat that? Sorry, the wife was asking me a question.
No, I said I want to get your personal thoughts on what you saw yesterday.
I'm afraid I cannot really speak on grounds that expressing my true thoughts might get me deported. But this being said, we do have our other co-host who did finally make it on the line. Better late than never. The country of E5 in the U.S. Air Force. And big fan of Alabama Roll Tide. Go ahead, T-City. You can say it. Your line is open.
All right.
Who the hell cares if still a wrestling on? Money in the Bank. But anyway, what's going on, people?
We're doing all right.
All right. Well, I know Don, he did his laundry so he could talk. Okay.
Wow.
What do you think about this? Yeah, I know. Hey, Rona, you made it. Hey, cool, what's up, man?
Been better, man. Still just tripping over what happened yesterday.
Yeah. My thoughts on this is when they took 45 days to even charge a man and they let him out of jail without even charging him initially, who's surprised that he walked? I said at the beginning, when it happened, he's going to walk. One thing also, I know a lot of stuff has been said, but they talk about white, these mothers in the jury, they're white mothers. And I hate it. And I'm going to go on a little tangent real quick. I'm going to be on a soapbox here. What have I never been on a soapbox? But anyway, I'm tired of like you got black people talking about, well, it ain't racial. It is racial. What other reason did he get out of his truck and follow that kid when the 911 operator said, no, I'm not, stay back? What other reason was that? He said all those assholes kept getting away. Guess what? Now George Zimmerman's one of those assholes that got away. But I just feel like that as a people, and I know my religious folks going to hate when I say this, but we got to stop saying, I'm going to pray. I'm sorry, I don't believe it's God's will that an innocent kid gets shot and killed. I don't. But we have to, in this capitalist society, just saying we're going to pray, sing on Negro spirituals, and hold a picket sign, not going to enact any change. What's going to enact change is us becoming financially empowered, being the squeaky wheel, put money together, and demanding better from our politicians, a local and federal, and not taking this stuff lying down. Because all we do is sit there saying we're going to pray and we're going to watch around the circle singing Rough Side of the Mountain, and nothing's going to change the same thing. It is a history. Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, there is a spiritual component to all this, but the problem is in the black church especially, there's a, I guess you could say, anti-intellectualism, which ironically, at church, the pastor did mention that. He said one of the problems is you got the intellectuals who left the church, and you got the, you know, he says when you get black atheists and ignorant black Christians, they're not going to come together. That is a problem. And by the way, Joe McVaughn can't speak because he's on the road with his family, but he's listening, and he said to say hello to everyone.
Okay.
What's up, Joe?
What's up, Joe? All right.
But, yeah,
you
can't, you're right.
Okay,
you can't just say we're going to pray about it and not do anything, you know. If you're to those hypocrites who claim to believe in God, they have to realize that God also gave you a mind to be able to think, to realize what you're dealing with, to think logically, you know. God gave you a mind to understand that in this context you're living, where if you're automatically profiled, you got to expect some stuff like that to happen. You know, you can't just anything happens, you react all emotionally. And while people are still, you know, reacting, I mean, I'm pissed off at, you know, that whole verdict, but look how quick black people are to forget about that woman, Marissa Knight, that we were talking about, Smitty, earlier, who got arrested, you know, which she did apply the Stand Your Ground law. She's fired a warning shot in the air, and she got 20 years, whereas Casey Anthony, who killed her child, got off free, and Zimmerman got off free. But where are black people? Where's the outrage about them trying to make sure that she doesn't get shafted the way the Trayvon Martin family got shafted? You know, instead of rioting and setting fires, they should focus on, let's make sure this shit doesn't happen again.
And you're right. And I always felt like that people get mad that Zimmerman, people donate all this money. But why couldn't we pass around the hat for Marissa? Her name is Marissa Alexander, if I remember correctly. Come, we couldn't pass the hat around for that and donate. There was nothing saying in the way of donations online, because people, the people donated money to Zimmerman, guess how they spread the word? The internet, social media. And we could have done the same thing for other blacks out there who may get well railroaded, you know, help pay for them to get a good defense team. Would that change the verdict? Who knows? But at least we gave it a shot.
And where were the black people who are donating to the Martin family so they could actually hire good prosecuting lawyers instead of those fools who bungled it?
Yeah. Question. I meant to ask you that. So we can clarify things for the listening audience here. The number 347-884-8239. And other news, Money in the Bank is on right now, wrestling. But to clarify for the audience, Don, you can't hire your own prosecutor, right?
I would think so, yeah.
So if someone knows the answer to that, because I don't feel like logging on, looking for it, hey, feel free to call in 347-884-8239. We'll put it in the chat room and let us know what you guys think. Because I know it's a very heated subject here. It is. And it's right to be heated. And black people, we have a right to be mad. We should get mad over this. We should get mad that they asked, they supposed to be the state of Florida versus George Zimmerman, but as it turned out, it became the state of Florida versus Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, but you know what? Instead of just being, no, they should be mad, that's true, but they should be strategic about what they do. Because, you know, as Jay Duvall put it in one of the Facebook groups, he said, look, you just show what happened. You had a group of racist people, you know, no matter what you say, I still say the racism was behind it, but as evil as they were, they systematically and logically went about how they were going to do their campaign to make sure Zimmerman got off. Whereas, unfortunately, as black folks, you know, all of us, myself included, a lot of times we're guilty of, you know, reacting emotionally as opposed to regrouping ourselves and thinking logically, because this is a game of chess, like Tariq Nasheed says. They're playing chess and we're playing checkers. You got to beat them at their own game. It's their system. It's unfair. So you got to learn the game and beat them at it. And they're going to change the rules and you got to adapt.
Well, also with the whole changing thing, I've always said every great coup started with people who play the game. See, the problem is we don't want to play the game and then, you know, and then but we want to complain about it. How often have we said, well, we need more black lawyers, doctors, judges, all that stuff. But in the same breath, go to the white man education. Come on. You know, you have to beat them at their own game. And you guys are right, and I've been saying that for the longest. You have to beat them at their own game. You can't just sit there and say, well, we demand justice from people that don't look like us, who don't give a damn about us. We
and
have
who
to start
have no interest in giving us justice. You got to think about that, too. But again, and Smitty, while you're very much correct, I want to put this out there because somebody's going to twist our word, making it seem like, oh, we're just sellout Negroes who are turning against our own. No. The bottom line is, you know, this has happened. There's nothing we can do to bring Trayvon Martin back. And unfortunately, Zimmerman is walking free. So now the thing is, how do we make sure that they don't, you know, something like that doesn't happen again because the precedent has been set. And there's somewhere out there, there's some racist person who's plotting for, you know, how they're going to be able to kill a black person and get away with it. So that's the real question because, yeah, we're all pissed about that. But in this context, what can we do next? Because I don't believe that Al and Jesse and the NAACP people, I don't believe they're going to be able to do jack shit, really.
Yep, and I looked at this. I found this picture online. 25 states have stand your ground laws that contain provisions that generally allow for the use of deadly force in self-defense with no duty to retreat in locations outside the home. And most of those states are red states. And you also got your Illinois in there. I think they may be red. Some of your swing states. Hey, my state of Arizona's in there. Woohoo! But where I'm living at now, because a lot of states here is pushing that stand your ground.
Hey, you know what that means? It means black law-abiding black people, instead of just complaining, I don't believe the liberal thing about with gun control. I mean, okay, don't you get assault weapons, but seriously, any black person who thinks you just ban weapons in general is foolish. any law-abiding black person should rush to the courthouse or the sheriff's department or the police department and register for weapons permits. And if possible, conceal weapons permit. And if you can afford it, go take some classes at the shooting range for marksmanship. That would be the smart thing to do, in my opinion.
Well, one area,
626
scenario. What's your name? Where you calling
from? Covina Man in the house.
Yeah, this is
Covina Man from LA. Hey, what's going on, brothers? Yeah, I agree with Don right here. You know, here in California, we can't, or here in LA, at least, we can't get concealed weapons carried. But, you know, you can have weapons, so I'll stock up. But, you know, on the street, man, I don't know. I think we need to be codified to a point where we understand what racism is and what's going on in our surroundings and our, and do whatever we need to do to get out there alive and then, you know, try to deal with it later. I don't know, as a, 17-year-old or whatever, I would advise the dudes to just book it, man. Get out of there. Then, you know, the white dude is going to be able to catch you. So get the heck out of there and survive. There's nothing wrong with that, especially knowing, you know, post the trial that these white folks are out to kill you. You know, I knew that ahead of time, but, you know, at least for the young folks, I would advise them, since they're out here hunting you down, going to kill you in the street, Get your cardio on. Start learning how to dodge some bullets or whatever, and get the heck out of there. Stay away from these white folks. White folks, you see white folks, whether it be a cop or regular white folks, they're coming to kill you. You gotta get the hell out of there.
You know what? I would add to this. Black Achievement USA said a very good thing. He said, "What we need to start teaching our youth is, stop thinking you're being a punk if you call the police. If a situation like that happens, you see some white person following you, you know, being creepy like Zimmerman, call the police. Just be like, don't be afraid. Call the police and be like, hey, there's a creepy person following me. This is where I am. You know, have that way it will be on record."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I'll say this, man. Well, I know Barack Obama spoke on it, but I'll keep it real with y'all. And I can say what I want to on this one. Barack Obama pretty much so many words that I said something, nigga, shut up. That's pretty much what he said. In other words, because he said the jury has spoken, the jury may be wrong, and the jury was wrong on this. Because I'm still like, how in the world can you get an aggravated assault on a guy who was being followed? How is that aggravated assault? That's the thing that got me. But yet he starts talking, Barack Obama, as usual, and I'm just thinking, dude, are you doing? You might as well just say, "Hey, niggas, I said something. Y'all happy now?" And keep it moving. That, to me, that's pretty much what he said without saying it. But if we know Trayvon was Trayvon, you know, or Trevita, guess what? He'd be beating down the door demanding that shit be done. But at the same time, we don't hold our politicians at local and federal level accountable for anything. Because part of the problem is, if you say, hey, he's a Democrat, I don't even know what his name is or his policies. He's a Democrat. I'm going to vote for him. That's what it usually is. We don't hold anyone accountable. We don't pull our money together. All we do is just say, hey, we're going to pray. We're going to walk around. We're going to hold signs and light candles and think it's stuff going to change. And it ain't changed that way.
Speaking of Democrats, Smitty, here's another thing. Okay, you know, we all talk about how the media portrays blacks poorly. But let's not forget, people, you know, Fox News doesn't have so much power that it sways the whole population. Most of the media is more left-wing, you know. And guess what? The liberal media does a better job than conservative media at portraying black men as criminals and all that. Those same media, that they will hype it up when the perpetrator is of another race and the victim is black, you know. And this is not, in no way am I deflecting from what happened, because, you know, I think Zimmerman got away with murder and this is not right. But, you know, how do I put this? Those same people who as soon as the perpetrator is white, if they can extort some money from a corporation that's white-owned, you'll see Al and Jesse and those other NAACP people come out the woodwork. But they won't come out the woodwork to try to do something about you know, the problem that's been going on in Chicago and stuff. That is private citizens, concerned black citizens, who are doing it, not those quote-unquote organizations that are supposed to be the leaders. So, and the very same Democrats that the black people are sold out to are some of the very ones who are enacting legislation that are destroying the family, which, you know, is another contribution to a lot of the other stuff happening. Like the Zimmerman case, that's one thing, but there's a whole other side that if we're just focusing on the situation like Zimmerman and we don't focus on the fact that self-destruction, even if we were to win a case against the Zimmerman, it's still not going to help because, you know, we're burning the candle at both ends. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm trying to say. I'm still pissed off. I'm having a hard time voicing, you know, expressing my words because, you know, part of me wants to go Ike Turner and the Chris Brown on somebody, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I was going to say, I understand what you mean, but I think that what we have is a situation where we have a civil war going on between black folks and niggas, right? And then we have an invasion from the outside force, which is white supremacy. So we really got two wars going on at the same time, and I don't know if we even capable of fighting two wars at the same time. You can't win either one of them. But the situation in such as Chicago is not anything that, let's say, black politicians or talking heads can actually do anything about. It's not a situation other than talking about it. It's nothing they can really do because the forces that have created that have been around for 400 something years. And the situation with the white folks coming in, there's no ultimate solution to that other than just to be aware of racism and try to teach each other how to survive it. And then, you know, at some point in another, you know, white folks practicing their practices, the homosexuality and all that stuff, they'll eliminate themselves. But we can survive and don't attach to the white folks. White folks are doing what they need to do to eliminate themselves. And the problem is we are like chameleons. We blend into whatever white folks are doing. So white folks are practicing white supremacy with homosexuality and all that stuff. We just accept that and think that's part of change or whatever. And you know, with the politics, the GOP is 100% racist. Democrats is about 85-90%, and I think that one little difference that we seem to attach ourselves to the white folks, the lesser of the races, the racist people, and I think that's what it is.
I don't know if I would agree 100% with you, Covina, man. I think it's more of a question of it's not even a question of, oh, this percent. I think the difference is, I could be wrong, but as an outsider's perspective, you have on one side, if they don't like you, they'll make it plain obvious. Or, you know, when they tell you pull yourself by your bootstrap, let's put it this way. You got those who don't like you, but if they're going to help you at all, they're going to make sure that they help you in a way that once they set you up, you can keep on going yourself and they don't have to deal with you again. That's one side. The other side, they'll act like they like you as long as they can be the great white savior helping out the savage niggas. As soon as you can be on an equal footing, then they'll show their true colors. So I don't know. I might want to deal with one who will tell me
really
that he doesn't like me, and if he's going to give me any help, it's to make sure that I am on my feet so he doesn't have to deal with me again than the one who wants to keep me perpetually subservient.
Yeah, you're not really understanding white folks here, man, because the white folks who say the GOP, there is no help. They just want to kill you. That's it. They have one thing that's annihilation of black folks. That is what they do. The Democrats, they may not be focused on that as a political goal. They might have something to do with that and a social goal with some of the things that they do. And those things are more or less the voluntary, you know, the homosexuality and the abortion and all that nonsense, the welfare, all that voluntary stuff they set up to destroy you. But the GOP, they destroying you from the outside. You have no defense against, as we saw with Trayvon Martin and the justice system, the GOP is set to just destroy you. That's what they do. The GOP as a political wing of white supremacy is just set out to destroy black people. That always has been and always will be.
Hold on a second. Let's take it back to the original topic at hand. As far as with the specific case of Trayvon Martin's death and George Zimmerman, that was not the GOP or the Democratic Party. It was the citizens who were selected for the jury, and the fact that in spite of knowing what happened, okay, I can understand they couldn't get him for murder, but they should at least have gotten him for manslaughter. The fact that they let him go, you know, I guess the prosecution probably thought, well, if they get an all-female jury that are mothered, they'd have some kind of compassion. Obviously, that didn't factor because those same people, remember, they're probably of the mindset that, you know, that Trayvon probably fit the profile of a thug or whatever. So the bottom line is, we know now that this, we know what America thinks of a black male. Doesn't matter. You could be a Nobel laureate. They're going to try to find a way to paint you as some kind of villain to justify killing you. So how do we move from there?
But, Don, that's way too late. That's way too late. It's like watching a football game, and you get called for pass interference after you lose 50-0. The score has already been ran up. By the time the GOP got done with passing the laws and standing your ground and self-defense laws and all that stuff, it's just a matter of time before people start getting before the bodies hit the floor. But then the body hit the floor, and you look at the jury, it's way too late. It's done already. They already done set up all the dominoes that already fell into place. You can't just start at the last domino. That was the last domino we looking at.
Well, hey, like I said, I'm an outside observer. You know, I can't participate in the political process. I can't really comment. So I'm gonna defer to the wisdom of a Sergeant Smithers and the anti-hero here for response to that one. Crickets? Anyone? Bueller?
Bueller?
Oh, I muted my line for a second.
Stop drinking and focus on co-hosting, Smitty.
I'm not drinking yet. I was listening to you guys. The problem about this case, like, that's why I was saying that the prosecution dropped the ball. And to be honest with you, I don't think they care they dropped the ball. Because you look at that interview right after the case, not too many attorneys are happy after losing a big case. They were cool. They were like, yeah, this is why we got in. Everything was this. And, yeah, we'll try better next time or shit like that. But that's just how I took it. Problem is that when you look at this stuff, everybody in that courtroom was white. So how was it a jury of his peers? If Zimmerman was Hispanic, where were the Hispanics at in the courtroom?
And he is mixed with Hispanic. He's half Hispanic, half Jewish.
But he's white. Hey, put it like this. He won't claim Hispanic until that boy got shot. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you look at the Gasol brother or Rafael Nadal, do you see Hispanics or do you see white men? And they from Spain.
Well, again, he's kind of like put himself in a box. Granted, some of them contributions may have came from supremacist groups or similar individuals. He has no serious place to turn to. I mean, he can't go to them for protection. And it probably would have been better off if he had served time, if he'd been convicted versus what he's looking at right now. Because how can you really, if you thought you had to watch your back in prison, what about when you're out here in the street knowing damn well it's going to be very difficult for you to find work with your high-profile status? You have to find someplace to move that either has been living under a rock or where you can actually find some safety in that community.
I think, come on, those very same people who are rejoicing that he has been acquitted, who were donating all that money, those hundreds of thousands of dollars, they'll offer him a job. Just, and not even so much that they love him, but just out of spite, just to show that, hey, we can do this. You know, because remember, I'm convinced all of this is part of a greater scheme, what I call it the Obama election and re-election backlash. It's kind of like, okay, you Negroes were so happy you got a black president, so we're going to show you who really runs this. So, plus, they've shown us time and time again that the Mangina in chief is powerless.
I think that Zimmerman will be hired by Fox News as a race analysis, and they'll probably have him for 2-3 years, and you know, until all this stuff die down, and he'll be in favor, more favor with the common white folk, and he'll get a job. I think being in Florida, he's safe because Florida is the home of Two Live Crew and all them weak Negroes, and you don't hear nothing positive coming out of Florida when Negroes doing anything against racism and white supremacy. When Rosewood got burned down, Negroes shut the hell up in Florida.
You know what the problem is? First, number 347-884-8239. Hit number one, let us know you want to talk. We got two numbers so far that want to talk, and it's an Alabama area code. Man, I love that state. It's a beautiful state. You know, land opportunity. But anyway, the problem is I hear all this about what they do to us. I remember this scene. I've said it before. Remember the first barbershop where the Indian guy? You know, all the people, where they got his ATM robbed. And you hear, and Ice Cube was like, why don't you leave? No, we're going to stay and rebuild. And I thought to myself, if they keep trying to tear our shit down, one, why don't we fight back or go down swinging like the Spartans did in 300? Or we just keep or rebuild again. Say, you may do something, but you're not going to run us off. I just feel like that as a people, we succumb to stuff too easily. And we keep saying what they did to us, instead of what are we doing about stuff. And I'll say this real quick. About Obama, I don't know why them folks are mad. He ain't done shit for us, so he ain't give a damn about us. You know? So I don't know why they mad. That's just my thoughts on that. But the boy was an innocent boy who got killed for minding his own business. There's no reason that he should have. It was like Trayvon Martin for the state of Florida. He was innocent. That man got out of his vehicle and chased that boy down and shot him because he was scared. He was mad because he was taking an ass whooping. No one in their right mind would tell their kid to not defend yourself if some strange person is following you at night. He don't know what that man was carrying, and that man was carrying a gun. And he got away with it. He admitted to shooting him. But if I remember correctly, an unarmed person doesn't mean a person will shoot you with a gun. And also, unless you're a Wolverine from the X-Men, there is no way in hell, or Deadpool, there is no way in hell that you could take getting your head beaten, bashed against the concrete 25 times and not die. Hell, one, you wouldn't even make it to 25 counting you still alive. Right there, that's a lie. He openly lied about it and still got off. That is what the people are mad about, including us. 911 calls. Him right there, that man Simmer right there said he'll get out and follow this guy. 911 operator said no. Evidence, all this evidence is right there. He still walked with nothing. Now, personally, manslaughter, I would have been cool with manslaughter. Because, hell, I thought it was manslaughter. But he walked with nothing. Not even probation, not even assault, nothing. He's going home drinking cold beers and waiting on the next NASCAR race. That's what he's doing. Why you got this kid is dead. His family are split. And, oh, yeah, when Trayvon walking that night, his daddy lived in that area. So he had every right to be where he wanted to be because it ain't private property, it's public property. And that's all I have right now.
You know, I have a very distinct problem with not only how the prosecution fumbled the case, but when you heard the phone call itself and him saying in his own words, his own personal thoughts and feelings of the individual he profiled, that was, to me, having worked in security, basically open and shut. They've already showed ill will and intent. And again, like, if you're afraid for your life, what is the point of being told as neighborhood watch when you have to adhere to the authorities anyway? Being told to stay put and you decide to go off on your own like a vigilante anyway. And seeing how they didn't want to add that part, that element to it. And they cleaned up the tape because the real tape, what was said, it said fucking Coons. So, again, if we're going to take this back to the church, let's look at how they say faith without works is dead. This isn't going to be another month of sermons and marches and everything like that. If you're going to riot, learn how to riot financially. That's where you make the most impact. Instead of burning buildings and tearing up your own communities and setting yourself back another 10, 20 years. We see how it is. Honestly, we see how things are. So the question's on us. What in the hell are we going to do about it? Don't want to hear the thing about what's the solution or whatever. What do you people out there suggest that you're going to do for yourselves and each other?
Well, for one thing, I guess you're going to have to teach all our children, especially young black boys, you got to have eyes in the back of your head because, you know, and I'm not saying, thing is, I guess white people want us to believe that if somebody comes to you and says, what are you doing here, you're supposed to just cow to them. Like, they want to make it seem like Trayvon Martin should have just, you know, begged and whimpered for his life instead of trying to defend himself when some creepy guy came at him with a gun. You know, I hate to sound like I'm trying to incite a riot or something, but we're going to have to teach our young black kids, look, either going to have to run, deal with looking like a chicken, or if you guys to confront someone, make sure you walk out alive, because otherwise you'll be the one in the cold slab.
Messed up situation all around. And like in Arizona where I'm at, of course everybody's saying you're granted the Wild Wild West. But at the same time, you could carry your firearm on you legally in the state of Arizona. So, yes, and so guess what? If the white people hear it, they can go right up on folks. Guess what? Got some waiting on them. Problem is that let's say if one of Dunn's homeboys, Dayquil, was in the right carrying a firearm, you know, and a white guy run up on him with a firearm threatening him, and Dayquil shoots him. Will we come together for his cause, Dayquil's cause? That's first and foremost. Because if that guy, the black guy, was in the right, they would try to do the same thing they did with Trayvon Martin, toxicology reports, trying to make it like he's a thug, even though the kid was going to college. You know, hey, let's be honest. All of us are 17 at one point, and we all done knucklehead stuff. Hey, we've all been there. We all been knuckleheads. Every boy of any race, of every race, has been a knucklehead at 17. We done 17-year-old stuff. But Zimmerman was never tested. Zimmerman has a history of domestic violence. That was never brought up. So he has a history of being a violent individual. Wasn't brought up. But every little thing about Trayvon was brought up and spun like he was a thug.
Yeah, and the whole thing about him supposedly having been high on marijuana, makes people chill. It doesn't make you violent. So that was a crock of shit. Also, and now as far as what the, unfortunately, this is one of the problems, what I've observed in the black community here in this country is that, like T. Smitty said, in the scenario he brought, if a black man uses the same argument as Zimmerman to defend himself and some white person were to assault him, would the black community come to that rally around that person? If it's someone who may, unfortunately, have had prior criminal records and stuff, in all likelihood, Alan, Jesse, and the NAACP people will rally. If it's someone with a squeaky clean background, no criminal record whatsoever, an honest, hardworking citizen or permanent resident, law-abiding, who was in a situation where they had to defend himself. Yeah, unfortunately, they're probably not going to rally around him. I mean, look at that woman in Florida who, you know, who did fire a warning shot because her estranged husband, who violated, I guess, a restraining order, tried to come at her, and now she's 20 years. She's not getting the support she deserves. But if it was someone who had a criminal record and did stuff, I bet you Al and Jesse would be on it. That's a sad fact. But we got to address that first. We got to not address. We got to correct that. I don't know. I wonder what Covino Man got to say on that one.
You still on the line?
I'm still here,
Covino
man.
I
just think that that's something that needs to be tested. And that's the only step, really, that if there's a solution, that's the only solution that hasn't been tried. Everybody then prayed and then marched and then boycotted and all that stuff, and we still got the problems. But when the person says, "God dang it, I got me a gun, I'm going to start shooting these motherfuckers," that's the one we ain't tried yet. So where you got the right to carry and bust on somebody, what the hell are they waiting on? I don't understand. If you got the right to just pick a fight on a motherfucker and then say it was self-defense, God damn it, I would be shooting white folks every goddamn day. I would quit my job just go around shooting motherfucking white folks. What the hell are they waiting on? I don't understand. I actually do understand. Motherfuckers in Florida is a pussy ass bitches. In California, Chris Bonner went out and shooting motherfucking cops. He didn't wait till time with no goddamn. He went around shooting cops. Motherfuckers said, "Here's my target list. You got my target list. I'm coming." They knew the target list and they was motherfuckers hiding. Motherfucking Florida kissed my ass. They sit up there do nothing.
I'm gonna ask you guys. Does anyone have the chat room open? It said I was it was logged on a different account and closed me out. Is the chat room open on any one of you guys' end?
I had it open a minute ago.
Okay, cool. Y'all got it. Okay, cool. Okay. But yeah, again,
that's the one
that
ain't been tried.
Oh, sorry.
We ain't tried that. Okay. We ain't tried open fire yet. We tried ducking, hiding, crying, getting on the knees, praising Jesus. We haven't tried blasting yet. Except for Chris Donner. And they left that motherfucker hanging. That's it. If you want to try a solution, let's try that for a couple decades.
Hey, Covina, man, here's the problem. The people who, you know, carry the guns, act all big and bad, gangbanging, when it comes to something serious like that, I don't see them doing anything. I mean, they'll fight each other over some turf that they don't even own, you know, for selling drugs, but not for really defending themselves in the community. So, I mean, unfortunately, it seems like they'd be more likely to use that gun against another black person than they would to defend themselves against an outsider who's bent on wiping you out just for the color of your skin.
But here's the thing. Okay, I can understand that because it's the niggas that's going around and shooting each other. Usually the black folks with some honor and education and stuff who have right to carry guns and stuff legally, they're not going around usually. I haven't seen any. There might be an exception here and there, but I ain't seen them go around and shoot nobody. But I see the lawyers out there and the talking heads, and they're talking about, you know, let's keep it peaceful and such and such. I haven't heard any of them say, well, we got law-abiding black folks who have guns, who can stand your ground, too. I'm not saying the niggas. I ain't saying the criminals and the gangbangers. Forget them. We know what they want to do. They just want to go in jail and go up in each other's ass. I'm not talking about them dudes. I'm talking about real brothers who got guns, ex-military dudes, you know, brothers they still got the skills. Chris Donner is an example. Where are them brothers at standing their ground? That's the one we haven't. We have not seen real brothers stand their ground yet.
Well, it's one thing standing their ground. I guess you're being attacked. I don't know if any of them would go on the hunt. I'm pretty sure many of them would want to, but they also probably have to think as far as what repercussion would be to their family or their children, you know. Unfortunately, that's a problem. In this system, someone like Zimmerman got nothing to lose because he has a system backing him. you know, unless the what you call the niggas, unless they decided to take the vigilante justice, who may not have much to lose.
Come on, man. Don't put nothing on the niggas. Like the niggas gonna do something positive. Don't even put that out there in the atmosphere. You know, niggas ain't gonna do that positive. I'm talking about the real black dudes. Forget the niggas. They shooting each other. That's it. I'm talking about the when is the brothers. So we got black gun owner groups, but most of them are Republican conservative type dudes. So forget about them house niggas. I'm talking about the real dudes. The real dudes. Because you go down to the south and down south, all black folks carrying guns too. Where the real black people at?
I wanted to say to the people out there who were always complaining last year or even years before about why do we have to talk about situations concerning the kids or other important issues, and yesterday was a serious example as to why we talk about this. The most important things we have to change is the narrative in our homes and the fragmented thing that is the family structure that we have. If we don't stop that, there will be no change. That's like it'll be akin to us eventually. So you see all these gangbangers and all these different social diseases that we have out here. But a lot of that is stemming from what was left in the home, what they were taught, what they were deprived of. And a lot of times it's like part of the social ills. That's part of the symptoms of a broken home and a broken community. Mm-hmm. So we got to do some house cleaning, some serious, serious house cleaning. There's some people who look like us, who ain't for us. We just have to get that shit straight. We have to. All that other shit will come little by little, but we have to take care of home first.
Yeah. And I, you know, somebody needs to write a book on this, man. But I think that when Chris Rock articulated that there's niggas and black folks and the niggas got to go, it was right in the middle of that time that the niggas actually won and they dominated black society, the so-called black community, has been taken over by thugs and whatnot. And the real black folks are just, they're really nowhere to be found. Is we just have a society ran by these thugs, and the youth, they grow up and they see that's their only option. What we haven't seen is black folks, you know, the Cosby Show black folks stand up and say, oh no, we have an alternative community for black people genetically black. The people who are genetically black has been coerced into becoming niggas.
Covina, man. I got a question for you, though. How are you going to have the quote-unquote Cosby Show black folks, the Cosby black folks, how are you going to have them stand up? Now, I could be wrong, but it seems to me like if you were a quote-unquote Cosby black person, that you're pretty much shunned. You know, you're seen as a seller, not authentically black. So how do we expect the individuals who've been consistently shunned and kicked out of the black community to come back and step up for it?
Well, I don't really expect people to go into the hoods. The hoods is done. You know, black folks really own that anyway. That was usually somewhere owned by,
property.
Right, it's rental property. It's rental. They rent it from probably some Jewish dude or somebody else, and they rent it, and then they call that their hood. It really wasn't owned by black folks, you know. So most of that was not our communities. I'm willing to say go in there and take over the rental property and start renting from the Jewish people. I'm just saying there should have been an alternative for black folks. Like black folks buy a house. Kissimmee owns a house. I own a house, right? My house is paid for. So let's say I want to move next to T. Smitty, and I go down to Phoenix. And then Don want to move, he moved down to Phoenix, and Ronan moved down to Phoenix, right? So we all living in there, but we all have a spot, and that's an alternative community than the freaking hood. Because the hood is the only representative. But if we had a spot where all us positive brothers are living together, then we have an alternative community. Now, the problem is, the problem with that is that we find out that, you know, everybody has a job where they're at. So if they, how do they keep continuing their income when they move to another spot? So that's the roadblock in it. But the thing is, that's what black folks should have been aiming for in the 80s, 90s, and in the 2000s, is coming up with an alternative to this freaking hood ran by these welfare moms and these gangbangers. And that's where we dropped the ball.
Well, it's a lot deeper than that. I mean, again, like the baby mamas, you know, the chicks burping out babies like Pez. You know, these.
I'm sorry, man.
These characters out here who, these ultra so-called masculine dudes who have their pants hanging out their asses, again, those are just mere symptoms of the fucking problem. You know, again, like, just like any old different STD, it starts from somewhere. And, again, if we change the narrative mentally, we can sit there and, like, pretty much renovate all these things with the hood. We got to get rid of the fucking hood mindset. We got to get rid of the whole things about this, these self-esteem issues where we're talking about, still talking about light skin, dark skin, good hair, bad hair, all this insignificant shit that we're wasting our time on when, again, we should be ever, I mean, kid, like, the color that most people worry about more than anything is money, green. If we don't even support ourselves and each other, because, again, how is it that we're the largest consumers of everything, we don't have shit to show for it? Why do you think they won't listen to us? Why do you think they'll, I mean, like, they'll just dismiss everything that we even suggest or even anything when we don't even support ourselves nor each other?
Yeah, but Ronan, even if we got rid of, you know, the whole broken families, the hood and all that, I mean, look, Trayvon Martin was living, there was a gated community, so I don't think it was a low-income area. It was probably middle class, you know, well enough to do. Still, he got profiled. You could be, if you're, the problem what I see is in this country, you could be a Nobel laureate. You could be a graduate from Johns Hopkins Medical School or Harvard Law or UPenn Business School. But because you're black, they still want to kill you. It doesn't matter. You could be educated, well-spoken, clean, squeaky clean background. They're still going to want to kill you. They're still going to see you as a thug. You could not. We could wear a three-piece suit. You know, no sagging pants, no Tims, speaking proper English better than everybody out there. They're still going to want to kill you. So you could be a Huxtable. I mean, I've been told basically that, you know, I am a kind of like a Haitian Theo Huxtable because, hey, I mean, I'm not going to, I don't know if I've told you guys on the show before. Both my parents are doctors, yeah. You know, but, you know, and I do come from a family where education is valued, but still, I know when I was in college and stuff, I know a lot of people when they saw me, they probably, their image was, oh, he's black, he must be a thug, must be from the hood, until they either somehow had to deal with me on a professional level and realized that, you know, their conceptions were wrong. And a lot of times, when they realize that their image of you is not the stereotype, that cognitive dissonance makes them even want to get violent as opposed to adapt to the fact that, hey, maybe I was wrong about black people. I mean, we still have to fix our community and all that, but you know what? I still think they still want to kill us. Not all of us, not all non-black people, but in general, if they're melanin deficient, I still think part of them, there's a part of them that wants to annihilate us.
You know, one thing I would say.
Anybody else?
There's one thing I would say. When this whole story came up, even like I know a lot of people pointed to Rachel Gentile in the court case. Even though no matter how ignorant she sounded, she provided the truth. But I will also say it's a lesson to y'all out there, young kids. Be cognizant, that means careful, of who you keep around because birds of a feather flock together. and they will, and people will associate, will like make a, will come to a conclusion about you by the company you keep, especially if you're not there to defend yourself or say your piece. Just something to always keep in mind.
You know, I don't know. I'm a strong believer of, like, again, everyone likes to go back to the whole thing about thugs and whatnot. And again, they're just a byproduct. I mean, there's issues within the so-called upper crust of Black America, you know, in between and even underneath. And again, there's so many entities out there who thrive on our division. If you take note of that, they were preparing for a riot, a wide-scale riot to take place. Pretty much with a firm idea of what the verdict was going to be. But again, like, look at how they can stand to gain from that. Not only do we set ourselves back economically, but they make money off us, housing us in jail cells, and pretty much putting us at stock, you know, to put their children and whatever business forward. We have to play this game with our heads. And again, everything they say and do and everything they set up is all about, is basically based on how we respond on what they do. If we don't, again, set the narrative for ourselves, you know, set our, I mean, like, have our own money basically working through our communities, building ourselves up to have a ground to stand on, to have some base to our voice. It doesn't matter what we say and do, because, again, like, they're going to pay attention to the stereotypes that, for some reason, more of us than often promote anyway. You know, you have this mindset to where we're arguing about how men who are looking to move forward, or even women looking to move and look more forward, the low end of moral and actually different areas are more exciting. Like, we have this thrill for things that we're not supposed to have. All of that shit is mental. All of it. If we don't fix that, things are going to look even more bleak than they do now.
I think it's mental, yeah. that's the biggest roadblock, man. I think that you can't formulate a strategy to try to economically solve a problem when 90% of your people is mentally incapable of grasping that mental concept. So you're running the numbers as if you had 100% or 90% of the people who can do something and you can organize the economics. But people have been psychologically, mentally, educationally, and then annihilated or miseducated, whatever you want to say. So you can't really add them to your numbers. The number is not going to work out. You can't get the talent and intent to build a society for people who is mentally not there to work with. It's a great idea, but you just don't have the people. We have niggas. We don't have black folks to work with.
Well, I'll say this real quick. I'll say this real quick. The number 347-884-8239. Hit the number one. Let us know you want to talk. Got like an hour left on this show.
Let me just add into this. Right, you took the word racist, right? They took the word nigger, and they called people nigger. And black folks somehow took that nigger word, feminized it, called it nigga, and said now that word is an endearment word. That's how psychologically messed up these people are. Now they endearing, calling themselves a nigger. And I was supposed to work with these dudes. I was supposed to have some type of economic strategy to work with dudes. Is psychologically endearment to white supremacy?
Rabbit hole goes even deeper than that. It's not, I mean, you got that part, but you also have, unfortunately, you know, right, I mean, right now they're going after, you know, they're trying to destroy the men, but, you know, they're going to go after they're going to come after the women too. And unfortunately, you have individuals, especially when we're talking about the quote-unquote talented 10th, or, you know, those who have the education and maybe the means, the political and financial means to make a difference. Unfortunately, you got half of the population, for one gender, who perpetuate, you know, the stereotypes that, you know, there are no worthwhile black men, because a certain someone who we're not going to mention by name, you know, is still, in spite of what happened, persisting on, you know, spewing some stuff, saying that decent black men of character don't exist. I mean, we're killing ourselves. And I think we as in the black community overall, I mean, black folks in this country, even though I'm not a citizen, even though I'm not American, but you guys understand what I'm saying.
Sorry.
We're fighting a multi-front war. It's like we didn't learn a lesson. I mean, Germany taught us you can't fight a two-front war and win, and we're fighting like a 5-6-front war right now. You know, you got a black civil war, you got the others who are out, you know, to mess us up. It's crazy. But we got to go back again to the Trayvon Martin thing, and you know, because we're taking tangents, but going back to the issue that George Zimmerman was allowed to walk a free man, it goes to show Jim Crow was never dead. He may have put on a mask, but the mask has fallen off. You know, I used to hate it when I was in school in rural Pennsylvania, seeing all those redneck kids with the stuff saying the South will rise again. You know, I was like, look, stop being sore losers. You know, you guys lost. But maybe they were onto something, you know?
Yeah, they were right.
Yeah, because Dixie sure is rising again. Jefferson Davis must be doing the happy dance in his grave.
But after a while, as a people, we got to stop. We all talk about what happened to us and happened to us. One of these days, we'll have to say never again. And it's up to us to do that. Can't depend on president or politician. How about you do it ourselves? And you know, I just feel like that we always, because every time I talk about stuff, we all talk about history, which is great. But at the same time, it's like, when are we going to start letting history pee itself? When are we going to say never again?
Yeah, you need to reach a critical mass of people who agree that never again. But,
yeah,
I mean,
go.
What's going to happen when you, I mean, let's put it this way. You know, okay, on one hand, people were right. If the melanin levels had been reversed and Trayvon had been a melanin deficient and Zimmerman had been classified as black, yeah, he would have gotten the jail term. But the black community in general, I mean, we do have to care when it's an incident like that. But we cannot only raise a ruckus when it's a non-black perpetrator, you know? How do I put this? We got to clean house first. Not to say that we got to let the melanin deficient folks off the hook, not one bit, but we do have to do some bit of house cleaning. And, you know, the fact that they wanted to put that image of Trayvon Martin, like, after the kid is dead, portray him as a thug and all that, they really try to dig in and stuff. And, okay, it comes to find out the kid didn't he want to be a pilot or like some kind of aeronautical engineer?
He
wanted to do something with himself. But why is it that even the hint of an image that he may have been thug-like, I bet you may have been partly because to fit in. Because
yeah.
I bet you,
right,
wherever he was going to school, if he came out straight up said, yo,
hey guys, I just want to be aeronautical engineer. He can be pretty sure he would have got ridiculed by his peers.
Yeah, right. And I want to say, we got a caller here. At first, the number 347-884-8239. The caller's 706.
That's probably
306. Okay. 706.
Oh, yeah.
What's your name? Where you calling from?
Tifa, you know who this is. God dang it.
I don't remember men's numbers for men. Sorry.
I'm glad you don't.
All right, what's up, man?
In other words, he doesn't do the switchboard too often. That's why.
Okay, that's
yeah.
What I just want to make sure. But I have a question for the panel, and think about it like this. Let's say, for example, we had, okay, the best lawyer in town ever. Let's say, okay, prosecute team. What do we ask people, for example, if they told us, okay, you got to stop buying every ounce of credit that you don't need to buy, put 30% of that into a pot, for to get this trial fee, will people actually do it or not? Answer that question for me.
So, being a man, you think?
I didn't understand the question. Yeah, I had myself on mute. Say the question one more time.
Okay, let's say, for example, let's say we like in a small neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Let's say, okay, we all need, okay, not in the same crime, but let's say, for example, we all need to go set a team like for lawyers, let's say, right, to set a legal team up.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about this. If they told us, okay, if we had to stop spending on BS, all of us put, let's say, 30% of our monthly wages in a pot for the legal team in case stuff would happen to defend case scenarios like this, would we actually do it or not?
If it was directly, like, let's say we were going to challenge the stand your ground, and we brothers gonna go out there and start standing our ground, I think that you would take those brothers who agreed, like, okay, we 10 brothers gonna go out there and stand that ground and go shoot a white dude. Then those 10 brothers need to pool some money and perhaps have some other people pooling in with this. I don't think that. Just in general, people are just going to start contributing to something. I just don't think black folks had the money to do that. But I think if the 10 people decided, yeah, we 10 to go out there and stand our ground, it'd be wise to put that money together. I think people to back that up.
But will we do that? Because think about it. The reason I ask that question is because I noticed this a lot. And I'm not referring to this. This actually goes right into it. We'll spend money on BS. They got nothing to do with whatsoever to at least solve the problem. But if we care some business, we ain't going to do that. But like, we ain't got no money for it, but like, I've seen the money we spent almost in BS and we're going into 40 kind of situations. Will we actually do that? We think that'd be a factor to make the change. We think that'd be a factor.
I don't know about 30% of your income.
Well,
before,
20%.
But you're right. I mean, people will spend their, you know, their rent money and whatever money on new Jordans, you know, those... Unfortunately, some of the same people who decided to—I mean, some people did do some rioting, like, you know, in Oakland. I heard they started some car fires or some crap like that. I bet you they spent time and money for new Jordans, but would not have spent it on making sure that the Martin family could hire a good lawyer.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because what is rioting really going to do? That, you know, what it's going to do for real? It's going to get more ammunition to shoot these niggas out here. And I'm that's what they kind of use. As these niggas are riding, we gotta get these niggas. They're luring all that other BS to get more ammunition. Hurry up in the pocket, and that's what gonna mess them up. Hurry up in the pocket. It's that simple. That's a bad that you can do.
That's what Jay Duval talked about in this one post where he talked about the problem is you got too many black folks who are unfortunately too emotional. I mean, we react emotionally very quickly. As a whole, and you know what? When I say we, I don't just mean black people in America. I've seen it when I lived in Africa. I've seen it in Haiti and in other island countries. There's something about melanin that makes us very volatile emotionally. But we also got to learn how to think and strategize. Because they, believe me, they think and strategize before they do something to screw us over. They plan it carefully.
Well, they have think tanks and stuff like that. They have, you know, Alec, and they have Koch brothers. They actually have people who are working together to formulate legislation to annihilate black folks. That's, you know, the GOP exists to annihilate black folks. So you get the whole political organization that's geared towards annihilation of black folks. So black folks are not on that level. That's a different level of white supremacy. We don't have a political party who's set on countering racism, but they have a political party set on annihilating niggers.
There was a political party, but in case people don't realize, the Black Panthers were not just some group of armed people. The Black Panthers were a political party. The reason I know that, because when I was an undergrad, Bobby Seale came to visit. He spoke. He explained that they were a political party. It's not the image people have, just a bunch of black folks with guns. They were a political party. They had a plan and stuff. Unfortunately, the powers that be set out to destroy them. But that's a whole other show.
Yeah, it's Ronald Reagan, dude.
Yeah, but back to this case. It just shows you how corrupt and crooked the justice system is. The evidence was there. But the man still walked. He even admitted to shooting a guy. He admitted shooting Trayvon. But Zimmerman still walked. What does that show people out there? He admitted to shooting him. But he says self-defense. If I remember correctly, you can't have self-defense against an unarmed person.
You can't. They had
all the recorded phone calls. And that's showing you people how they value black people. Data has no value. If Trayvon was Trevor and George was D. George, D-E apostrophe George, we already know how it's going to happen. It wouldn't have been 45 days before he was charged. It would have been 45 minutes if he even made it to the police station alive. He would have been guilty.
Right.
With murder charges, not even manslaughter, it would be a murder. So you got to, people, you got to look at this and say, do you want your kid to be a Trayvon? Or, hell, do you want your adult friend to be Trayvon? Because that's what's going to happen. And I stress to you people, learn these laws. Because they got to stand your ground. Guess what? You get to stand your ground, too.
Exactly.
And you can't be, just because they got a different color skin, don't be scared of them. You don't have to go around proving yourself different than them, talking about I'm not this type of guy. You are or you aren't.
And not just stand your ground, Smitty, but I think it would behoove every law-abiding black citizen and permanent resident in this country to go to your nearest sheriff's office or courthouse or whatever and file the paperwork for a weapons permit. And then, on top of that, go to the shooting range, take whatever classes you need, get proficient at marksmanship. Yeah, learn to shoot. So if you're going to shoot, there's no collateral damage. You know.
Yeah,
what do you think about when people talk about gun control? The NRA was the one that first came up with the idea of gun control to keep black folks from having guns. All right, keep it 100, as the Americans like to say.
Yeah, because
so
guns, because to be honest,
to get a weapon permit.
Honestly, I think these politicians are going to try to use this case to push that gun control. Let's be honest here. Because remember when Sandy Hook happened, Obama, Barry O, and his guys were quick to try to push stuff. And what was he doing when he gave that shallow comment, this hollow comment this morning? Oh, more try to push more gun control. Gun control would have meant nothing because Zimmerman was a criminal. He still carry a gun anyway. What the problem is that the people who commit the crimes aren't being prosecuted, supposedly on a blind justice system. But let's be real, justice isn't blind. Justice's eyes are wide open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, justice is a prostitute.
Yeah, that's true. You better pay up. And that's one thing I say about us as people. You can't complain about Zimmerman receiving his money if you wouldn't do the same for a fellow black in that position. You know, that's just my opinion on that situation.
Yeah.
Damn, man. You know what? We ain't getting many calls today, but we have some good world star on. People be calling left and right. But this type of stuff affects up. This stuff is a very, it's very huge because you already got people that had no faith in the justice system. You know, your kid gets shot, and a man doesn't even get manslaughter. Gets nothing. So he pretty much got away with killing your kid, and nothing happened. And they say it's God's will. Now, I'm not going to attack religion, but I just don't see that as God's will. I just can't. And I just believe people just, I just don't see it. Now, I don't know that, I've been hearing they were talking about, like, filing civil rights charges. I don't know how far that's going to go.
It won't do a damn thing.
Yeah.
And if you hear anything about filing civil rights charges, as soon as the NAACP, Al and Jesse get involved, it means that they're going to find a way to have some white old corporation to pay money. It's not really about doing the real justice thing. Because okay, how come we didn't hear about the whole thing? Trayvon had been killed for probably a few weeks when it was first leaked out. And you notice the parallel between that and the Paula Deen case and all this other stuff? You know, people want to make it seem like, oh, black folks had to cause a ruckus. It was a white woman who filed a suit against Paula Deen. Because if black folks had tried anything, nothing would have happened. I think it was a white guy who actually put the stuff out in the social media. And then when the black people caught wind of it, they got incensed. But that's also another sad situation where, you know, even when an injustice is done in the black community, he's like, unless some white person speaks out, you know, either black people will remain silent or they won't even know about it, or even if black people try to speak about it, nothing will be done. I mean, it's messed up on so many levels, not even funny.
Yeah, I think that black folks in a lot of ways are afraid to talk about racism.
Think about it.
Go ahead.
You can't talk racism now because you got a black president and Oprah's the richest woman.
Everyone wants to use a bunch of like shields to hide behind. What we have in office, we have a public official in blackface. That's all we have.
And actually, mixed face, to be honest with you. you know.
Tragic mulatto in every sense of the word.
Yep. And so.
It really isn't too much that he can actually do about racism.
Oh,
he can't even he can't even get a farm bill or get people appointed to the court system or to his cabinet or something like that. They have him caged in like a damn animal. Anyway, he can't do nothing. He's sitting there in office, but them white folks got him on nigger check. You can't do nothing.
That's
and
true.
Then
they,
and then black folks sit up there like, oh, how come you ain't out there slaying the dragons? Because these damn dragons got him cornered and they ain't gonna do nothing about it. He can't do nothing about it.
It's primarily loyalty to the Democratic Party, not the black folks. Get that straight.
Hey guys, we got a caller, 580,
yeah,
coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the most notorious trinity in Oklahoma. Go ahead,
oh, DC. Crap. But then you might hit my black vest.
The hell?
What up, DC?
Hey, man, how y'all doing? Greetings and blessings to each and every one of you.
Okay. And blessings, man.
Yeah, man, I told you.
We gotta give DC the proper intro, cause like I said, the most notorious. The switchboard's acting up. Yes, this is the proper greeting. Yes, I'm from Oklahoma by way of Trinidad. Straight truth,
oh,
DC.
Y'all give that the switchboard, man. Man.
I have to give you the Darth Vader song, man, because you take no prisoners.
I chimed in on Tuesday. I've been listening, right? And the first thing is when you know, they went to, what's that cook lady named Paula, whatever her name is?
Yeah.
Paula Deen,
right? You know, sometimes, man, you know, we just don't even have to give things credence, you know, and somebody said it right. You know, we just don't want to police up ourselves, man. You know, as, you know, that word for me personally, just, I don't care who said it, right? I wouldn't take it from a black individual at all. I'd knock his ass out. That is me. You understand what I'm saying? Because that word just conjures something in me, you know. And if we sit up here and we don't police ourselves, man, and then so we give, it's all over the damn airwaves. It's all over the news. It's all over everywhere else. You know, I'm driving down the street. You got white folks, man, blasting their music, and that's all you're hearing in their music. So if they're singing a song and saying it, you will look at them and say, hey, damn, you know, you ain't supposed to say that. We all screwed up in the damn head, like the brother said before, you know, when he said, yeah, we screwed up in the damn head, we just don't want to do better. We know better, we just don't want to do fucking better.
Yep.
We just don't want to do better. Here it is, right? I'm sitting in the community right now, a small community. Right, about you had 13, 14 homicides, and out of the 14 of them homicides, 8 of them were teenagers, bro. Teenagers, 16, 17, 18, 19, man, and some of them were good students in school. But nowhere on this planet. We got to stop coming together when something, you know, we just diminish people, you know. In a whole year, guess what's going to happen? All this stuff going to subside, and then we're going to start back to the booty, and we start back to all that other nonsense.
Yeah.
Even when that thing was fresh, BC, you already had idiot low-class people who are profiting from this. By, you know, having some kind of a Trayvon Martin booty twerk off at the club, as if somehow that honors the memory of the deceased or is going to help the family in some way. I mean, people are going to forget. They're going to go right back to, you know, booty popping, pussy popping, and twerking. You're right.
You're right. And Ronan always hit it on the head. But my thing is, right, I saw this individual trying to sell me a T-shirt and a hood, right, sitting up in a club. Right, walking around with some shirts on his arms and some T-shirts, trying to sell somebody some hats and T-shirts, right? To do what? Why would I buy you a Trayvon Martin shirt or hat for money to put in your damn pocket and you don't give a damn about that youngster? That is our mentality now, man.
Yep. Hey, you know,
yes, sir. I don't know, y'all, you made me think about this. Y'all remember like Martin Luther King Day? You see these pictures floating around the internet where people took his image and they put these club flyers on it.
Yes, sir.
And so that's supposed to be one of our most revered figures in black history. But look what we did to that one of our most revered figures. He and Malcolm X are up there on Mount Rushmore, kind of black. And look what we do to those two images.
Screwed it up. Hey, can I get whipped? You know, we know this set of juries are your peers, right? How the hell are you gonna sit, you know, right then and there when they name the jury and they just agree on one other individual, which was Latino, just because. But there is no damn way that you can have five white women, okay, on that type of jury when you sit up here and what, two of them husbands are lawyers or whatever it is. You know, they're well off in that community. You understand what I'm saying? They don't see no pain as far as that's concerned. Now, you know, yes, I'm a gun owner. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a gun owner. I know that, right? I got kids run through my neighborhood all different day and night and whatever it is, right? But if you sitting up in here and a kid is running through your neighborhood and you know that kid is coming towards you, most often than not, you gonna first thing you do, you gonna go for your piece and say, look, you know, And so, you know, in the military, we got these three things, right? You need to identify yourself before you come up to me.
Yep.
Because I'm packing heat. That's first and foremost. This individual, we know, and I didn't want to take a side until I hear everything, man, but when I start seeing everything else and being a man in the military and a gun owner and carrying a gun and seeing these kids on the street, and I got kids, right, that dude meant to shoot that guy. And I don't care what his brother said. I don't care what they said. It was that guy came out there with a vengeance, because if a cop tells you, stay in the damn car or stay in your home, don't get out of there, what the hell are you doing opening your door to go outside to look for?
How are you in danger for your life? You're in the truck.
You know, stay in your truck. We coming. Stay in the truck, we coming, all right? Boom. No, but you don't want to stay in the truck. You want to pursue an individual because you know you can. And then how you sit up here and let a guy get so close to you and you carry, you packing heat? There is no damn way.
I know how that happened. He's going to use the same Palladian excuse, you know, you're so dark, you blend in the black. Boy, he's going to say that, you know, because he was black, he blended in the night, some bullshit like that. I mean, look, the bottom line is, if there was an altercation, obviously, you know, he, for one thing, Trayvon probably saw that he had the gun and probably was like, you know, I better knock this guy out before he kills me. Bottom line is, he had no business being out there, and white America just showed that, really, they want to kill black youth, and they're just happy, you know, that the Zimmerman got away.
You know what?
And because, I mean, we've heard even on Blog Talk Radio, we've heard white folks saying, like, you know, he should be given medals. Like, they were happy that he killed a black boy.
But, you know,
they don't see us as human. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, but Don, the first thing that we got to do, right, I hear what you're saying, but the first thing that we got to do, we got to stop this genocide nonsense, right, within our own community first. You understand?
Chicago.
And then if we can sit up here and get together, right, their ass is gonna get the message, because number one, them and Fauci is, hey, shit, they're killing each other any damn way.
But even if we get our act together as far as stopping the internal genocide, they still don't see us as human. That's the problem.
Don, but we knew that.
We got another call.
Go ahead.
I say we got another caller here. Looks like that's a 724 area code. 724. What's your name? Where you calling from? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, sir? This is IB Wise from Uniontown, Pennsylvania.
What's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, IB, hold on 1 second, IB. Hold on 1 second. Hey, guys, you got 30 minutes left. The number 347-884-8239. Hit the number one. Let us know you're in there. Sorry about that, Ivy. Had to throw that out there. Go ahead, brother.
Now, I see you. Hey, I've been listening to this all day. You hear me? I'm just as angry and upset and disappointed and frustrated as everybody else who did not agree with this verdict. But I got to ask, number one, why is this such a big deal other than the fact that it's because it's right now? You know what I'm saying? I mean, young black kids are being killed on a daily basis, and 80% of them are not an issue.
That's what
okay?
I'm stressing.
80% of them are not an issue. But now we got this case with this wannabe cop, okay, who was not really justified in doing what he did, but he did it. Why he did it, how he did it, and all the rest of that means nothing now. Now the issue is what's next. You know, we can't stop this. We cannot stop this. because we cannot put our heads together as one. You know, when black folks start thinking as a group instead of a minority, if we stop thinking as second-class citizens and start standing up for each other instead of fighting for ourselves, by ourselves, we might get someplace. We might get a little farther than we are right now. You know, this thing with this jury was ridiculous. But the fact that the prosecution did not fight for what they thought they need to help win this case, it means nothing. Yes, there were 6 women. None of them were black. You know, I mean, tell me something we don't know already. It was all set up by his defense attorneys because they were more invested in this case than the prosecution was. The prosecution did as much as they did because it was getting them the recognition that they wanted. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And nothing is going to be resolved. You know, I mean, we might end up with another O.J. Simpson-type trial where he's not guilty of murder, be it first degree, second degree, or involuntary manslaughter, whatever the case may be. He's not guilty of murder, so now we have to put on a civil suit to
it's
try.
It's not going to work.
And no, it's not going to work, but they got to try it.
Yep.
They got to try it. You know what I'm saying? Because they tried everything else and nothing got through. You know, now this morning I heard ramblings about should the president get involved? For what?
What for what? Tell me.
You know what I'm saying? That's opening up the door for the media to attack him, for the Republicans to attack him even more.
I'm glad you brought that up, IB. Because there's a false thing going around saying, claiming that, oh, the Obama administration is going to file a federal suit. That is total bull crap. That is probably some racist white folks who made up this false thing just to have fun at the expense of black people.
There you go. You know, I mean, you look at some of the things, for example, this thing with the IRS, okay? Regardless to the fact that the people involved, the head people, were all put out on a chopping block, somebody had to bring up, did the president know about it? Did the White House know about it? I don't care what it is. If it's negative, they have to find a way to try to bring the president into it. You know what I'm saying? He don't need to get involved in no more shit. He's got enough on his plate now. I mean, you don't have so much armor. You know what I'm saying? You can't fight everything. And right now with the fight that he has, it's a good thing this is his second term. Because if what's going on now was his first term, he wouldn't make it to the next trip. I firmly believe that. You know, but I just had to get that out, man, because I can't understand why they make a big issue about this now when you look at all these other killings of young black men, and a lot of it happened in the state of Florida, and it was no big deal.
The media
wanted
it's a big deal. It gets more rating if the perpetrator is white and the victim is black. If the perpetrator is black, the victim is black, the media doesn't care. And the black community doesn't care either.
Here's a distinct problem when we sit there and just put the thing on the media. The media is very selective by choice. Again, a lot of the stuff that they commit on their own when it comes to race, there's a lot of cases that took place several months ago, but now they're coming to light just because they can go back and clean that shit up before they present it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that happens to people of color, that shit is on air, it's immediate, and they look for the dumbest motherfucking stereotype to put on camera to solidify those stereotypes out there, to get people who believe in what they see on television is how they perceive us. And I've seen this overseas, and we've seen this in person, respectively. That's how they think we are. They think we're the Charles Ramseys or these coonish and buffoonish characters out here. They don't look for the articulate, upstanding people who can hold a conversation or a sentence. They look for all these characters that they can, like, you know, look at that person. So they can easily dismiss the importance of the case or the situation and focus on that character right there. That's what they do.
Right. Why do they think that way of us?
What's that?
Why do they think that way of us?
Because a lot of times
we glorify it.
Such stereotypes.
We glorify it. You know what?
We can't put the complete blame on World Star Hip Hop because there's hundreds upon thousands, damn near millions of submissions to the website for the most ratchet shit on earth. So again, while World Star Hip Hop, they just put a platform out there for people to expose themselves in the worst light. And you have people who willingly submit this silly shit for the sake of attention or likes. That's why we get into problems that we get into. Not just social media, but out in the public. We don't know how to carry each other. You know, we don't know how to carry ourselves accordingly. Anytime we're expected to do something progressive, for some reason that's deemed as acting white or being not keeping it real or anything like that. It's like, for some reason, that mindset, which I stressed again, we have to change the mindset, that if you do something ignorant or show your ass or act, have these emotive reactions, silly shit or poor conflict resolution, that's keeping it real, that's keeping it black when it isn't. It's keeping it real fucked up.
Right.
You know what, Ron?
You know,
also, when you talk about World Star, I always say this, a car can't run without gas. And we keep feeding these images and stereotypes, and also what we also do, we glorify it as a people because we may like the sweet brown, that ain't no gang got time for that chick. We glorify her, but that was a black girl who was 15, and she got a scholarship to Harvard, if I remember correctly. I was one of Ivy League schools. You don't hear black folks pass that around or glorifying her.
No.
We don't do that. We can't. See, the thing is, I'm not going to depend on someone that doesn't look like us. I'm talking about us as a people. If we get the information, just pass it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, every think about this. We got all these, because, you know, I know BC's still on. He's seen it. And Ronan, you've been in the military. All right. And I'm getting out at the beginning of the year. We got a lot of boys here who, you know, may just trying to get out for the surroundings and stuff. Say, hey, well, why don't you do this military for 4 years? You know, you still got your GI Bill, you got your VA loan, you got your buy a home, whatever, you know, stuff like that. I don't want to do that. But after a while, if you want to change your surroundings, maybe you got to make sacrifices. If you want to change stuff sometimes, you got to make sacrifices. And I just believe one thing also is that, like I was saying, we have to stop glorifying the BS. How many parents out there will be like, hey, my kid's a smart kid. You know, he may be good with IT and stuff. But I don't have time. I don't have money. But if he wants to be a rapper or a ball player, oh, man, his T-shirts, let's go to every AAU camp. What do you expect to happen?
Yeah, I mean, they're finding resources for shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, of course. But it's come out that the biggest weapons used against us as a people in ourselves, the biggest weapons used against us is confrontation and separation.
Yeah.
Okay? We will keep a competition going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. You know, and that's what they want, because as long as they can throw us a couple of bones, we're going to eat it up and keep on adding to it. The more they throw at us, the madder we get. The madder we get, the more we talk. The more we talk, the less sense we make, but as long as we keep it going, it keeps them going.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as separation goes, everything, I don't care what it is, whether it's big or small, everything has to be about separation, black and white, Democrat, Republican, right, wrong, left, right. Whatever the case may be, there has to be one on one side, one on the other side. And that's going to keep us down. because we have to start thinking as a whole, not just black, white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, German, French, whatever. We have to start thinking as a whole, as an individual people, period. You know, and that's not easy to do because everybody's not going to see eye to eye. But if we try to get together and try to work things out instead of pointing the finger at who did this and who did that and who's right and who's wrong, we might accomplish a hell of a lot.
Well, you're right. Everybody will never see eye to eye, at least not on everything. But, yeah, we got a clean house. We got to at least set some standard for ourselves, you know. You know how a lot of people talk about back in the days, it was so unfair. When you were black, you had to work twice as hard, get half the recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Those are our ancestors who came up under Jim Crow during slavery, those who risked getting their tongues cut out, their eyes gouged out for learning how to read and write and stuff, they knew it was unfair, but they still did it anyway because they could look at themselves in the mirror and, as Tariq Nasheed would say, pop their collar and know their worth.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it was unfair. They still built anyways. Now we got people who say, oh, but it's unfair, and don't stand that. And
but
that's a problem I have.
Don.
Yo.
Yeah, look, you know, my thing is, as I go back in history and see the things that some of our ancestors went through, you understand? You know, today, these individuals are oblivious to some of those stuff, to see the people been bitten, been hanged, been all that other nonsense, right? For us to, you know, I don't know what the mothers and fathers are teaching these kids today, man. And, you know, we don't have a sense of self. You know, not you know, some of us do. But the majority of individuals that come on Blog Talk and walk the street has no identity with nothing.
Because the mothers are busy twerking it off at the club, and the dads, well, the sperminators, are busy looking for the next warm vagina to put their penis in to ejaculate, so they're not taking time to raise their children.
Well, Ivy hit it on the note. Ivy, you know, this should keep, you know, what will happen to us is, like, I remember a long time ago when that brother got dragged and decapitated in Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
That stuff still resonated in my head to this day. You ask some of these individuals, they already forgot stuff like that. They already forgot stuff like that. And that's why I'm saying right now, this stuff's going to sit up here, and in a year or two, that's it. We're going to go back to doing the same shit we're doing until something raises our eyebrows again.
You know, somebody mentioned it a little bit earlier, but there are some things that need to be discussed that we don't talk about. You know, we don't even mention. I sit my son down and I discuss the entire Scott sister's situation with him. The entire situation. You know, and it went in one ear and out the other. You know, but when he was running with a crowd, and the police showed up, and everybody threw their weed on the ground and ran, and he didn't, then he caught on to what it's like to take the weight for something you have nothing to do with. You know, now he knows. But instead of him taking that and learning from that, the first thing come out of his mouth is, oh, well, that just happened, you know. That's not going to happen again. You don't know that. You don't know that because you already opened the door. You know, now your so-called friends know that when it gets heavy, all they got to do is drop it in your lap because you're going to take the weight for them. And it's not necessarily the parents' fault that these kids are the way they are. You know, I mean, they play a big part in it. But they give up. They give up, and the kid ends up doing what they want to do. You know, I tell people, you can sit down with your child for who knows how long and teach them everything that they need to know that's right. But you have to keep in mind that as soon as they walk out of your door, there's 100,000 people out there trying to teach them something different.
That's it.
And they make it sound more appealing, and the more appealing it sounds, the more interested this kid gets in it. The more interested he gets in it, the more likely he's going to get involved. Plain and simple. You know?
Yeah, we you know, like Don was saying, man, these BS shows that they have, you got the doctor's wives, the ladies of some shit, and hip hop this, and I mean, they're going to the bottom of the barrel and making us look worse and worse and worse every damn day, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and man, it just, you know, sometimes, you know, as we sit up here and try to make sense out of all this, right? You know, you go back and you turn the TV on, or you look at something in your community, and you say, damn, man, for every good two steps I take, this fool trying to drag me back five.
Wow. Hey, I want to thank you guys, and I appreciate y'all letting me come on and get my little thing
out.
Not
a problem. Not a problem, man.
And we got to do this more often. But we've got to come up with, you know what I'm saying? We've got to come up with something else besides Trayvon Martin. I mean, it's a tragedy as to what happened and the way it happened. It's a tragedy how it turned out. But it's done. You know, and we're doing exactly what the media wants us to do. Keep on talking about it. Keep on feeding into it. Keep on pushing the issue. The more we push it, the more sensationalizing they're going to do.
But I think.
And I agree with that. I agree with that because, like, it seems like there seems to be this disgusting pattern. Like, we can go back for the annals of time. We talk about the Gen of Six. For a minute, we find some way to prostitute their image and the cause that they died for. But we talk about Oscar Grant or Sean Bell or Darian Albert, a legion of people who have fallen. And for a hot minute, we talk about it, and it is business as usual. That's what I'm concerned about.
Talk about Darian Albert, and then
walk away from it.
But, hey, Roman. With Darian Albert, I mean, there was some outrage because some kids had videotaped it, but I don't remember Alan, Jesse, and Ben Jealous from the NAACP. I don't remember them really getting involved in that one.
It was Larry Big Quill
who killed the black boy.
We should not be concerned about the musings of media prostitutes who only show up when a photo op comes up. Talk a lot, but don't do a lot. What's a march done for us anyway? That's what they expect us to do, just march, get mad, get our emotions out, something like we're having a community period. And what the bleeding is done, we keep on going. That shit has happened to us since the beginning of time. It has.
Yeah, but those are the individuals, right, when we say the media, right, and I look very carefully, okay, both sides use the media to their benefit, and those are the individuals, right, that are putting this in this situation because they're using the media for their own benefit, and really not ours. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, and that would hurt. Like I said, every two or three steps we take in the right direction is some fool trying to take us back five and six. You know, the media is there for one purpose. They're there for one purpose, and the Jesse and the Shopton and I didn't even know who the hell Ben Jealous was until, you know, most recently. You know, all of a sudden these individuals pop up from out the damn woodwork and think they are, you know, they were set by something to lead us out of bondage or some shit like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Another Moses.
The reason why that kind of stuff works, man, because it's like that's what the white folks respect. They respect a black dude who can mobilize a crowd to go stand on a corner or march around the neighborhood. That's the ones they respect, and they put them on their talking head shows.
They don't respect them.
Well, that's what they think. I don't know. they don't respect them, but that's the ones that they get the kudos from, the talking heads people. But the thing is, it doesn't result in anything. And the thing is, we can complain about them, but unless we come up with a viable alternative to their little nonsense, it's just us talking on the radio about somebody should do something. Unless you got something concrete that we're going to do A, B, then C, it's no more useful than the fools getting Reverend Sherman or something walking around the corner.
Well, here's what we can do. Each of us get our own shit together, personally. If we got kids,
our shit together.
Raise them right. Yeah, but you have to. You cannot have a group get together, do anything, unless the individuals got their own heads together. Because, look, you know, we talk about it takes a village to raise a child. You're not going to have a village raise a healthy child if the village is populated by idiots. You're not going to have the crazy people get better if the asylum is run by the insane inmates.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's too many guys, you know, like it's a god, you know, like when you go into a prison, you got 200 damn inmates, and then you got 10 gods, man. That's sometimes that's the way it is, man. When one individual trying to make a difference, and you got a world of fools, man, that, you know, just don't belong on the planet or in your space. You know, they just don't get it. You know, sometimes I think they got it, but they just don't want to. You know, some of us get it, but we just don't want to, man. And that's what's killing us.
What the hell is that?
But, you know, to cover it up, we cannot let anybody know that we just don't want to. So we keep making up excuses. We keep coming up with different reasons as to why this is the way it is and that is the way it is. We are great at complaining and, excuse my language, bitching about the way things are, and we spend less time trying to correct them, trying to fix them, trying to make them better. You know, everybody has an idea as to how things can be better as long as they don't have to get involved with trying to do it themselves.
And that's the problem.
That's one problem, not the problem. That's one problem, the talking heads. The other problem is those who are doing what they need to do to fix the problem, even if it's on an individual level, they have to face the crab in the barrel mentality. That's the other side of it. It's one thing, you got the people who are just talking a lot of crap but not going to do anything, but those who do face the backlash.
But Don, let me hit you the one thing, right? Recently there were two killings in the neighborhood down here. And look, all them pastors got together, right? Rally all this, brought the newspaper in, walk all over the neighborhood, made a damn human chain around the little community and that decrepit buildings that they have down there, right? This was like 3 months ago, right? Today you ain't hearing nothing about it, man. Nothing. You can't get them to walk from here to down the street no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I'm saying, you know, they try to use the media for their own pimping ways, whilst you got some of us still in the community talking to these youngsters and doing different things. But all they wanted to do, as the Pastoral Alliance, is get together, right, walk down there for one thing, get to their face on this damn TV, and then they leave the community alone. And that, you know, that's why, man, I have a hard damn time with these what they call it, you know. I can read for myself. I can read the Bible for myself. I can do different things for myself. You know, they're a bunch of them, you know, because God told me to look out for them false prophets and false teachers, and everybody, a bunch of their asses out here.
They get all emotional, but they're not going to do what needs to be done. I mean, look. We addressed this a little earlier, and Ronan always brings it up. I love quoting Ronan because he always says, if pastors really preach from the book like they're supposed to, if they really called out what the book defines as sin, the pews would be empty. You know, they're going to get pissed off, you know, and rightfully so about the Zimmerman case, but they're going to get pissed off when a black kid gets killed by a non-black person. but they're not going to mention, they're not going to address the fact that in their pews you got people coming year after year, more children, no husband, no fathers for the kids. They're going to come, they're not going to address the fact that you got people who they may be married, but there's abuse going on. They're not going to address that stuff.
You know what? I'll say this. We got 5 minutes left live. And also, you talk about this stuff right here. These other groups who are pushing for rights and everything, legislation, they aren't leading with pastors. They're leading with people that are talking about pure economics and people who knowledgeable about law. We have to separate that. Also, you are all right when we got to hold each other accountable, because there was no Von Holden shirt saying justice for Darian Alver, Hadiah Pendleton. Hell, they had an offer of $30,000 reward just for someone to turn the killer her killer in. We don't even turn our killers in our community. We want to say no, stop snitching, and then get mad when the police don't want to come by. So I'll say this. What?
Well, you said stop. Let me just say this about stop snitching. This goes to show how ignorant so many black folks are. If you participate in the crime, and then you cop a plea with the cops, you know, you make a deal, and you turn in on the people who were with you, that is snitching, because you were part of it, you did the dirt, and you're going to tell on the others.
If you don't want to go by yourself.
Yeah, if you're a witness, and you see what happened, and you say, that's not snitching, that's just being an eyewitness. If you are not participating in it, you're not snitching. So niggas need to understand. And I said niggas, not black people. Niggas who are masquerading as black folks need to understand it ain't snitching if you weren't doing it. If you saw it happen, you know, forget white supremacy, whatever, tell the police you're not a snitch. You were not a part of it. You're not turning in on people, on your fellow, you know, I know they say there's no honor among thieves. You're not turning in on your fellow co-conspirators. That is not snitching.
No, you're a concerned citizen doing your part to help keep your community safe.
Exactly. So sorry to interrupt you, T. Smitty, but that I had to put this in, because the whole stop snitching thing really pisses me off, because they don't even know what snitching is.
But yeah, what I was saying was we don't hold our own people accountable. We glorify areas, like a Venom Man said, we don't even own the hood. Most of those areas are rental properties, those homes or these apartments by the city. We don't even own those properties, so how are you going to glorify it?
Mm-hmm.
My problem is that, one, we're the only group in this country that shun education as a whole. We don't, it's like, one, we try to, well, we say, hey, kids, you know, if you can't own a business, hey, go get it, you know, get your education, you know, learn, travel, see the world. Oh, no, you work for the white man. But, yeah, if you got to own a business, you don't have your own money. Guess where I get your money from? The white man.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that we just crush the dreams of so many kids by saying, oh, education, oh, you ain't doing nothing. All you do is go to college. You don't live here. Oh, and I just feel like that we crush so many dreams. There's a reason that our people are so-called divided. Why in the hell am I going to sit there and help somebody out who crapped on my dream ever since I was a kid? What's the incentive? And that's the problem. And also with the killings and stuff. Like my hometown, Montgomery, Alabama, only a couple hundred thousand people in that town. My dad told me they already got 30 homicides for the year already. And most of them are black. And you know what? Parents, all parents can do is teach their children. It's up to the children to, you know, apply those teachings in their daily lives. If they don't apply it, guess what? You can do two things. You got those birds through the animal kingdom. You push it off. If you fly, it goes flat. But also my favorite line from Cool Hand Luke, it won't fail to communicate. And I'm paraphrasing. He said, some men you just can't reach. Well, this is what he wants. Well, this is what he gets. I don't like any more than you do. So these people don't want to not break the law, you know, not want to get an education, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's on them. Nothing we can
That's
do.
Right. You know, I've been here in Uniontown now for 4 months, okay? And since I've been here, the 45 minutes outside of Pittsburgh. Since I have been here, every single day in the news, you listen to the news in the morning, every single day, at least four people getting shot in Pittsburgh. And out of that four, three are black. And 90% of the time, that black individual that got shot was shot by another black. We're doing just what they want us to do. We're killing each other off. For nothing.
Yep.
And that's what it's all about. For nothing. You know, I want that dollar that you got. Instead of going out there and getting my own dollar, I want that one that you got. So I got to kill you to get your dollar, and then somebody turns around and kills me to get that same dollar. Well, we can all put them dollars together and make them work. Wow. And fellas, I got to go. You know, I mean, it's been great.
Thanks for calling in, brother. Thanks for calling in. It was some good stuff. And I'll say this, because the show went over. We're probably going to shut this thing down. But
yeah,
thank you for everyone who called in. And, hey, people, what happened to Trayvon was a travesty, just like all these other young black kids that get shot every day is a travesty as well. We must demand justice for everyone. And it starts with us. We can't depend on people who don't look like us to do a damn thing for us. You guys got any closing statements? Oh, yeah, and fuck John Cena for the record. But go ahead, guy. That's for Ronan.
Well, the closing statement I got is keep your head up.
What's that, brother?
I said the closing statement that I have is keep your head up, walk straight.
Agreed.
And keep an eye on kids. Think about the company you keep as well. Always be mindful of that because they are, like I said before, they represent you as well. And everybody else got anything to say before we shut this thing down?
Let's see if Covina man got something to say.
No, I'm good. Y'all have a good week, brothers.
All right, cool.
All right, everybody be good. Much peace and love.
All right, take it easy, brother.
All right.
Hey, you got anything closing, Ronan?
Think more logically and less emotionally. I get you can grieve and be upset about things, but just use your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I'm going to steal your line.
Even though that doesn't apply to Trayvon Martin because he wasn't breaking any laws, but black folks, if you know how the system is set up against you, know the laws and don't break them. And if you're a law-abiding citizen or permanent resident, get a weapons permit, go to shooting range, and get proficient with marksmanship.
All right. With that being said, guys, thank you for calling in. And anyone who chatted the chat room because it got closed out on me, thank you, guys. And I think Platinum Queens will be back next week with a great topic. All right. You guys take it easy and have a great weekend.
All right, Smitty, let me see if I can play the outro song here, and I'll take us out with that.
All right, might not want to click in episode yet.
Yeah.
We're giving up the platinum queen.